This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, the Most High, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. We seek His help, we seek His aid, we seek His guidance. We seek His protection, we seek His refuge from the evil within ourselves and from the evil consequences of our poor choices. We bear witness that there is no one and nothing worthy of worship except Allah exclusively alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. We beg Allah to shower Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and all those who follow his tradition with peace, mercy and blessings until the end of time. It is very important, as we always need to do on our gathering here on Jumu'ah on Friday, that we renew our taqwa of Allah. That we renew our awareness of the fact that Allah is fully aware of our thoughts, statements and actions at all times. And we should make sure that the angel of death does not come upon us except that we are in submission to that which is pleasing to Allah and protecting ourselves from earning His displeasure. What's on many people's minds and what's on most people's minds today is a particular event. Maybe some of you had been following it on television or hearing about it or discussing it with one another, and that's to be expected. And many people come to the sermon expecting to hear more about this topic, because there's a desire to always have relevance. When I first returned from Medina last year, early last year, I had a layover in the city before I came to LA. And it was a day of Friday, so I stopped and I made Jumu'ah with a community in that city. And the Imam was a very prominent speaker. We've had him here before. And he was saying that a young man came to him complaining about the quality of Jumu'ah khutbas. And he said, "You Imams, I'm tired of your Jumu'ah khutbas because they're not relevant." And relevance is very important. We should not be people that are naive or that are gullible, that are unaware of what's going on around them. But sometimes, in our effort to be relevant, we get so caught up in the actual events that are taking place that we forget the punchline. And we forget the moral of the story. And we forget to connect things to history. And we forget to look through things from the lens of what Allah and His Messenger have told us. And so oftentimes in our effort to be relevant, we end up becoming irrelevant, because we get drowned in the news story and forget about what's really important for our hearts and minds and the health of our families and communities. And so because inauguration is on everyone's mind today, it was on mine as well. But when I stopped and thought about inaugurations, the first thing that came to mind was the inauguration of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the closest companion to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was in his last and final days, before he passed, he took many decisions and gave many responsibilities to Abu Bakr to highlight and show clearly what his role is amongst the other companions. And so after he passed alayhi salatu wasalam, the companions gathered in the place known as Saqifat Bani Sa'idah, and they consulted with one another and they came to the conclusion that they would like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to be their representative and their leader after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And so on the following day, as Abu Bakr came and gave his first sermon, if you want to call it, inaugural speech, and he rose up to the minbar to address the companions, he was described as walking up the steps with khushu', with humility, with tears. He was not happy to be thrust into this position. He was not excited for the power that he would have. Because that is how believers react when they are put in a position of leadership. I remember in Medina, one of my professors who had taught us, after a few years, he was appointed to be the dean of the college. And so one morning I passed by the office and I gave him salam and I said, just want to congratulate you on your new position. He said, son, you shouldn't congratulate me, you should be giving me condolences. The responsibility and the burden has only gotten heavier now. It's more difficult. What I will be questioned by Allah about is now more. And so when Abu Bakr stood up and spoke to the companions, what did he say? What were his words? First, he stood in front of them, وَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ. He began by thanking and praising Allah. And that's why we begin our sermons showing gratitude and praising Allah and thanking Him. And then he said, لَقَدْ وُلِّيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. I have been put in a position of authority over you, but I am not the best amongst you. Humble. But it wasn't an act. It wasn't the humble card. You know how they say sometimes when a person is praised, they pull the humble card. Oh, no, no, no. It wasn't an act. When he would stand before these companions and look towards them, he believed sincerely, these people are better than me. And that's the kind of mindset that he dealt with people with. لَقَدْ وُلِّيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. It's not because of my knowledge or my power or my ability or my wits or my this or my that. No. You have put me in this position, but I do not consider myself to be the best amongst you. So then what does he request of them? فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي. He requested of them that if you see me excelling, if you see me doing well and doing good, then support me, help me. And this is following in the command that Allah gave the believers in the Quran. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate with one another for that which is righteous and good and beneficial, but do not help one another for that which is sinful or evil. Abu Bakr told them, if you see me doing good, support me, help me, so the good can flourish. So it can continue and benefit more people. But if you see me doing wrong, don't stay silent. Correct me. Set me straight. فَقَوِّمُونِي. Set me straight. And this is also in accordance with the commandment of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was with his companions and he told them, أُنصُرْ أَخَاكَ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. Give victory to your brother, whether he is an oppressor or oppressed. And so the companions were baffled. They said, okay, it's obvious, we know that we will give him victory when he is oppressed. But how can we give him victory when he is the oppressor? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that by correcting him, stopping him from his oppression, you are doing what's best for him. And that is the type of support that is needed. So do not just be complacent. Don't sit by the fence or the sidelines. When we see good, jump forward and be a part of it. And when you see wrong, be a part of the effort to stop it. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِنُونِي وَإِنْ أَخْطَأْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي. And then he said something very beautiful. And we can contrast the words of this leader with the words of others. He said, الصدق أمانة والكذب خيانة. He said, truth, صدق. Truth is an amana, it's a trust. It's something you're entrusted with. You've got to protect the truth. And on the opposite, والكذب خيانة. Lies, that which is a lie, it's untrue, that is deceit, that is treachery, that is a backstabbing. Because it'll always come back to harm. As Allah said of the hypocrites, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah said, the hypocrites, they try to cheat Allah and those that believe. But really, they are cheating themselves first and foremost, and they don't even feel it. But standing up for truth and pushing away lies and deceit and treachery is the first principle of leadership. And so in these few sentences, Abu Bakr is teaching us profound lessons of leadership. And then he said, أطيعوني ما أطعت الله ورسوله. Obey me so long as you see me in obedience to Allah and His Messenger. فَإِنْ عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَلَا طَاعَةَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ. But if you see me disobeying Allah and His Messenger, then your obligation to obey me is null and void. Allah commanded us in the Qur'an, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those that are in authority over you. The scholars of tafsir said the verb ati'u was not repeated a third time because obedience to those that have authority over you is contingent upon your ability to continue obeying Allah and His Messenger. Obey Allah and His Messenger and those that are in authority over you. And then you know what he said? قُومُوا إِلَى صَلَاتِكُمْ يَرْحَمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Stand up and make your prayer. That was the end of his sermon. Our sermons are so long, we keep going. But in his eloquence, in just a few words, he laid down for us some of the most important principles of leadership. In commemorating that, perhaps we also should shorten our khutbah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Repent to Allah, He is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. When we hear the topic of leadership and when we hear about these great leaders of the past and their justice, we often feel that that's talking about someone else. And we think about others that our imagination thinks of when we hear the word leaders or leadership. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, set the record straight for us when he told us and gave us a beautiful metaphor. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. Every single one of you is a shepherd and every single one of you will be asked about your flock. And if you think of the job of a shepherd who is trying to rally and keep together sheep, a very innocent, gullible animal, just looking for some nice grass or some nice water. And that might lead the animal to a place of harm. The job of the shepherd is to make sure that he's vigilant, careful, watchful over the flock, protecting, sometimes running to the right, sometimes to the left. You might need to be in the front or the back, being careful when you see one sheep going away. Bring it back. Know which of your flock are weak and are more susceptible to swaying away. Because if you lose one of those sheep, when you come back, you will be held accountable for that sheep that you lost. And so the amount of leadership and authority that each one of us has varies from person to person. But be very confident that every single one of us has some amount of authority, and we will be asked about it. No record will go unsettled before Allah. And so we have to make sure that we exhaust everything in our ability. That whatever is under our authority, we take care of it, and we are prepared to answer the questions that we will be asked. How about with regards to leadership that is at a level above us? How should we be? Well, just like in everything else, we should be balanced and nuanced and moderate and careful. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Put people in their respective positions. Towards some leaders, we find some people going too far and raising them to a status that is far beyond what they actually have. A leader is a leader, but they're not a prophet, they're not a messenger, they're not a saint, they're not infallible, they're not godly or divine, but they are a leader. And on the other extreme, we find people that refuse any acceptance of authority. And both sides of the spectrum lead to imbalance. But we should be balanced. If a person is in a position of authority, we should respect that position that they have. But also we should remember that we live in a country and we are part of a national community and of a society that gives us the right to speak out when there is injustice, and to voice our opinion when we see that there is something harmful for the society at large. And so it is part of upholding justice, and it is part of giving victory to anyone who is in authority, to make sure that whenever there is an injustice, that we stand up and we speak and we do that which is within our ability, keeping in mind the principles of wisdom and of respect. And so that is our obligation. And that is the mindset that we need to carry going forward. But no matter how big any leader is, or how powerful they might be, let us always be connected to the King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every leader and every king will perish. And when there will be none living and remaining except Allah, who is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, the ever-living, who does not perish, He will call out, as He told us in the Qur'an, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. To whom belongs dominion on this day? أَيْنَ الْمُلُوكُ. Where will the kings be on that day to answer? They won't be able to answer. And Allah, the answer will come from Him and by Him. لِلَّهِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. On this day, dominion belongs to Allah alone. And so let us never lose hope in Allah and in the mercy of Allah. And let us always remain connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let us not become naive or gullible or unaware of what happens around us. We ask Allah to grant us the ability to behave with mercy and to think with wisdom, and to communicate with eloquence, and to stand up for justice. And we ask Allah to allow us to see the truth as truth clearly, and to follow it. And we ask Allah to allow us to see falsehood clearly as falsehood, and to abstain from it. And we beg Allah to protect us from confusion that might lead us astray. As we come to a conclusion today, I would like to, on behalf of the Islamic Institute of Orange County, and on behalf of the Outreach Committee and their coordinator, Brother Jamal, I would like to thank our dear guests from the Breya Congregational Church that came and joined us today for this Jumu'ah prayer. And they wanted to stand with us and be present with us and express their support and their solidarity. And we thank them kindly and dearly for that. This is a gesture which is very much appreciated and accepted. And you are always welcome in our community whenever you wish to visit in the future. Their coordinator is Mr. David and the community of Reverend Rick. Some of them have joined us today, and so we are very happy to have them with us. And we are always happy to have people from other communities and other religious groups be with us and spend time with us, so we can communicate and we can speak to one another and learn from one another. And on a related note, tonight's FFN program will actually be dedicated to discussing about a specific ethnic group that is coming to Islam, and they are joining the Muslim community in large numbers. And that is the Hispanic community. And the program has been titled with a question: why are so many Hispanics coming to Islam? An important question that we should ask. And we will have a panel of speakers from this community, which is the largest minority here in America. And how the irony, it's interesting that in the recent days, there were many statements that were distasteful and disrespectful towards Muslim and Hispanics. And so now when you have Hispanic Muslims, what an ironic situation. But we will have this program tonight so we can hear from them and discuss with them what the needs of their communities are. And so this is a very important program. I encourage all of you to attend and to spread the word. And that will be at our usual appointed time after Isha, which is at 7:30 tonight here in the NPR. Everyone is welcome, and you are encouraged to invite your friends and family members. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. We beg Allah for the best of this life. We beg Allah for the best of the hereafter. We beg Allah to protect us from the torment of the hellfire. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. Ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkurullaha al-'azim al-jalil yadhkurkum. Washkuruhu 'ala ni'amihi wa ala'ihi yazidkum. Remember Allah, He will make mention of you. Be grateful to Him, He will increase you. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The remembrance of Allah is the greatest. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Allah is fully aware of what you do. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ.